All right. Well, we're going to finish a series today on the pursuit of happiness. And this is our fifth week on this. And get ready because we're going to get a whole truckload today. And we're going to move kind of quick. So I hope you're a note taker. I've talked with several people about this. Alicia and I believe this. We're note takers. Any meeting I'm in, I'm taking notes. Even if you never look at your notes again, it just does something for you. So in whatever form that you're going to take notes, I know also some of you take your phone and snap pictures of things we put on the screen. Anything that will help you like that, that would be part of the goal. So let's dive right in. Psalm 144. Are you ready? You need more hugs? Okay. Psalm 144, verse 15. Happy, come on, say it, happy. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. And remember this word happy, also translated blessed here, is observatory. So it's been observed, and then it's an exclamation. It's exclamatory. So it's like, oh, how happy. Oh, the happiness of who? Those people. Which people? Those people whose God is the Lord. Now, I'm going to go quick review here, and then we're going to dive into some things. Everybody wants to be happy. And without exception, human beings are always in the pursuit of happiness. Whether or not you identify that or not, virtually every decision you make, virtually everything you do, the core motivation of that is, will this make me happy or not? And again, whether or not you identify it or not, you're in such a role, such a rhythm of doing that, I don't want to do that. And if we boil it down, why? Because I don't think that'll make me happy. Or I want this because that might make me happy. So part of the problem in all of this, though, is happiness is too often wrongly defined. And if it's wrongly defined, then it's wrongly misunderstood. And if it's wrongly misunderstood, then it's going to be wrongly pursued. So that's been the focus of this series, is to make sure that we're understanding what happiness really is, where it comes from, and how we pursue that. So let's look at one of our big statements here. Real happiness can only be found in a relationship with God, through Jesus Christ, with the awareness of the Holy Spirit in your daily life. Would you read all of that with me? Real happiness can only be found in a relationship with God, through Jesus Christ, with of the Holy Spirit in your daily life. And understand this, the less concerned you are about happy, most people are concerned about that, but the less concerned you are about happy and the more concerned you are with God and His ways, the more happy you will be. So let's boil it down a little bit further here. The pursuit of happiness is the pursuit of God and His ways. So would you read that with me as well? The pursuit of happiness is the pursuit of God and His ways. Look in Proverbs 8, verse 32 through 34. It says, now then, my children, say that's me. It says, listen to me. Listen to me. Blessed, there's that word again, blessed or happy. It's exclamatory. How blessed. Oh, the happiness are those who keep my ways. Listen, there that is again, listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed, oh, how happy are those who listen to me, watching daily at my door, waiting at my doorway. So again, this word blessed, oh, how happy, oh, the happiness of those who, you ready, who listen, those who listen. Not just, oh, I heard you, but I listen. And this Old Testament Hebrew word for listen has this idea. It's to give full attention so you can give full obedience. So, you know, we're back to school time. And the teacher said, you have assignment due a week from Friday, and it's this and this and this, and it matters for this many points. And you might have heard that, but did you listen? Because they gave you, here's what you need to do. They gave you instructions. So what we want to do, and if I have a title for today, it would be this. Follow the instructions. Follow the instructions. This is vital. And if you follow His instructions, remember the pursuit of happiness is the pursuit of God and His ways, and he gives us instructions. And if you'll listen, if you'll give full attention so that you can give full obedience, the Bible says that's going to raise your happiness. Now, let me talk about happiness just for a moment. Happiness is not this constant laughing, giggling, joyful glee, mirth, head thrown back. You know, that's not even realistic. That happens. Times of that happen. But what this Bible happiness we're talking about, it's a tranquility. It's a base of peace and calm and gladness. And there's times it's rejoicing. There's times it's exuberant. But it's in general right in here. And understand this. We can be happy, and you want to be happy, and you should be happy in this life. But we have to pursue it in the right way. And we have to realize that although the Bible says that we can be happy and we can be blessed, it does not mean that there won't be problems. Doesn't mean that there won't be setbacks and ups and downs and things to go sideways. And you'll experience trouble and experience even grief. You know, these things will still happen in our life. But if we consistently will follow his instructions, you're going to recover more quickly, which is important. Recovery is huge. Too many people get stuck because they don't get over something. And so when you have this godly happiness that is in you, and you're following consistently the instructions, I'm going to give you a bunch of them today to kind of get us moving on that, you're going to recover more quickly. You're not going to get stuck in the grip of sadness, and you're going to be able to, in general, live a much more happy life than if you just tried to live it otherwise. Amen? And so we've got to listen to his instructions. It involves some do's and some don'ts. This happiness is available, but it's not automatic. As I said, there's do's and don'ts. There's spiritual things. There's practical things. There's big things. There's little things. There's a lot of things. And there's no way for us to go through all of them, nor do we want to reduce it down to a checklist of things. You want to get into the idea of, if I will just do what God says in every situation, it's going to help my happiness equation in my life. Shake your head if you understand so far. Now, this is not about earning. This is not about performing. It's not about perfection. Rather, it's about cooperation. This is cooperating with God. This is participation. These are your operating instructions. This is how to do this. Alicia ordered some footstools. They came the other day, and some assembly required. So I got all the parts out and the, you know, nuts and bolts, and they give you a crummy little Allen wrench, you know. And so I was laying it all out to do it, had the instructions. I did it exactly by the instructions. And then the little footstools are like this. So I went back, and the instructions were flawed. Now, I followed them exactly, I promise you. But I went back then, and I saw, okay, this should have been on the instructions, but if I do this and this, and I got it back where it's supposed to be to start with. This is what I want to assure you of today. God's instructions are not flawed. These are perfect. God's, as for God, his way, the scripture says, and it's true, as for God, his way is pure. It's proven. It always proves true. And so what we have to do is follow the instructions. So again, the pursuit of happiness is the pursuit of God and his ways, and scripture will give us these instructions. Now, in our pursuit of happiness or anything else, if it's not going right, it's just not happening, I promise you, you're missing one or some of the instructions that God would give us. You can always go back, oh, so that's what it was. So, you know, driving. Somebody stole my car, that's all I had left. joking. My oldest grandson just got his permit. Could we pray? He'll be all right. He was with me yesterday. I got, Peepaw, can I drive? I got, nope, your mom and dad are going to get you started, and then we'll see about it a little bit later. But in driving, think about when you first started driving. And I had to take my test, manual transmission. How many of you know what I'm talking about? All right. And so you've got clutch and brake and gas and in and out. And one time, one of the music groups I was in, we had to double clutch the bus. So that's a whole nother thing. It's a whole higher level, y'all. But you got to get in the car. You got to get your seat adjusted right. Put your seat belt on. How do you hold this? How do you hold this? Do you, though? Can you drive with your knee? I can just for, Alicia hates it, but, you know, yeah, I'm, you know, I got to open my Big Mac or something. I don't eat Big Macs. You got to fix your mirrors. You got to check your mirrors. I was just rereading some things the other day to refresh me, and it said every 5 to 8 seconds, you should be looking at your side and rearview mirrors. You know, just every 5 to 8 seconds, see what's around you. You got to know what's around you. Where am I going? You got to keep it between the lines. How do I start this thing? I had a loaner car for the last couple days. Mine was getting worked on. And so mine, if you just have the key on you, you can just press a button and it will start. And so how many times driving this loaner the other day, I requires the key. So I'd have to dig out the key, get the key and turn it. There's all these things. And after a while, it becomes kind of normal to you. But when you first start out, it's like a checklist. You know, like when we were teaching our kids to drive. Okay, now check this, do that. What is it? It's the instructions. And if you follow the instructions, you can be a good driver. You can be a good driver. And so it's not really a checklist. After a while, as you grow and mature and get better and better at this, it becomes just how you do it. You just drive the car. Not mindlessly. You have to stay aware. Oh, I've got to do that. Okay, turn signal, look in here. You know, and you adjust to things as they go. And the same is true with golf. How many of you think I'm probably a good golfer? Thank you. The rest of you may leave. I'm joking. Probably everybody I play with is better than me. So, but I have a good time. But when I do go, you know, I'll tell, especially if they're better than me, I'll say, hey, I don't want a golf lesson, but if you see something, say something. You know, so over the course of time, you know, well, I notice you're doing this, your one shoulder, your knee, your this, your grip's too much, it's too not enough, it's, you know, and so all these guys, and so after a while, it's like, ah. And then the other day, I bought some golf balls, and I'm fixed now, y'all, because right here on the box, straighter flight, longer distance. It was here all the time. And I wish that was the case. But sometimes with golfing, it can get so frustrating. Okay, I'm trying to think, okay, that and this, and it's my shoulder, it's my knee, and my back, and you know, you're just doing all of these things, and all right, I got to aim, I got to keep my head down, you know, all those things. And then there's somebody standing right there, and it blows your mind, and you know. So after a while, it's just like, ready? Just hit the ball. Just hit the ball. I can remember as a kid coming home from my buddy's house, had a baseball bat over my shoulder, and I walked across my neighbor's yard, and he had those white mushroom toadstool things that were in the yard, looked like golf balls to me. And so I just took my bat and whoop, and knocked those things all over. It's one of the first times that a neighbor ever came out and cussed me out. But true story. But the thing was, not that long ago, I was golfing and going through all the mental, this, and I got to do this. And then finally, just inside, I said, just hit the ball like a kid. And you know what? It went. It went. And my point is this. We can't ignore all those things, because if I hit it and it goes wrong, then it's going to be one of those things, one of the instructions that I should have followed. But the more that we do that, which is my problem in golf, I just don't do it enough. The more that we do it, the more natural, the more normal it will become for us to do. So, listen to me. There's a whole lot that the Bible says. We have a whole lot of instruction from the Scripture. But don't get uptight and think, oh, it's this checklist. I don't know if I can do it all. God will help you. And the more familiar you become with it, and the more that you do it, the more normal and natural it's going to be. And I'm going to promise you, too. And you're going to be more happy in the Lord. Amen? Now, let's dive in and get ready. Here we go. What is our topic again? Happiness, the pursuit of happiness. And again, our title for today would be Follow the Instructions. So quickly, let me review a few things that we've already covered. Good theology, and these have come up on the screen for good theology. Come on, everybody say it. You've got to know what you believe, why you believe about God and His ways and His promises and all of those things. You've got to be solid in that. It's one of our main focuses and efforts is to make sure that we have good theology, sound doctrine, because you've got to settle these things. Is God good? Is He not good? Is He strong? Is He not strong? Is He for me? Is He not for me? All of those things. What has He promised? What has He done? What is He planning? You know, all of those things, you've got to have good, sound theology, or you don't even have a chance because you don't even know who you're dealing with or what He's like. So good theology. Secondly, and we talked about it last week, gratitude. Come on, say it, gratitude. We've got to be thankful, and we spent a lot of time on that. And the next would be this, trust. Everybody say trust. And so we talked about this. Lord, I thank You. Lord, I trust You. That should be a part of every day, that Lord, I thank You, and Lord, I trust You. And that is going to produce high levels of peace and recovery within your life. There's an old song of the church, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And it's exactly what we're talking about. Trust Him, follow His instructions. Now, here we go, and I'm going to get into your business, all right? Next one is this. Self-talk. Self-talk. We're talking about happiness. Your self-talk is an issue. Most of your unhappiness in life is from you listening to you instead of you talking to you. Now, it sounds like a little bit of a paradox there, but hear this again. Most of your unhappiness in life is from you listening to you instead of you talking to you. The psalmist over and over talked about, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Well, how did he know he was downcast? Because there's kind of this inward voice that kind of speaks to us. It's not God. It's not the devil. It's just kind of you. And it's the summation of your whole journey. And you have to be careful which way that leans. What you have to do is not just listen to you. You need to talk to you. Your words matter. Words have the words are so powerful that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what are your words? And it needs to start about as soon as you wake up. Because when you wake up, well, I don't feel good and I hate Mondays and blah, blah, blah. And we start with it all. Oh, great. And I got to do that today. Oh, my hair is horrible and I can't stand this and I don't feel good. Who's talking to you? That's you talking to you. Oh, I look like an idiot. This doesn't even fit anymore. And it's critical and it's negative. Oh, I hate this day. Blah, 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 blah. And we go on with that. And you need to hush all of that up because your words really matter. Am I in your business yet, anybody? Okay. And so we've got to talk to ourselves in this way. So are your words, are they faith or fear? Are they mercy or are they shame? Are they positive or are they negative? Are they grace or are they insecurity? Are they can do or they can't do? We got to realize this. And one of the prescriptions I would give you would be this, to have a daily affirmation, confession, declaration that you kind of speak based on God's word about you. Let me give you a little bit of mine. One of the things I'm going to say every day, start my day as early as you can. Do this, you know, once you get up and all. Today's going to be a great day. Today, I'm victorious. My God loves me. His grace has covered me. I'm forgiven. I'm healed. I'm restored. New mercies surround me. I'm free. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm a servant to Christ. My soul is completely satisfied in the goodness and faithfulness of God. Anything that promises satisfaction outside of Him is a lie. My mind, my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my hands, my feet are only going to do what is pleasing to Him today. I will be a sacrifice of worship today. I will live and walk by the Spirit and crucify the flesh. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. And there's some more, but do you get the idea? And so you need to talk to yourself. It reaffirms what God has said. It helps you to get started with all of this. And I think it notifies the devil, too, that you know what's up. Amen. Self-talk. Next is this, and I got to hurry. Hugs. Come on, say it. This is why I had you hug each other. Studies show, even secular studies show, you need 12 hugs a day. So you need 3 to survive. That's why I had you do at least 3, because I didn't want anybody going down on my watch, all right? 3 to survive, 6 to maintain, 9 to grow, 12 to thrive. And when we hug in proper ways, our brain releases these powerful chemicals called neurotransmitters, several types of them that boost your immunity, boost your self-worth, your belonging, your sense of belonging and connection. It boosts your mood. This is a great prescription for our kids and teenagers, you know, because sometimes they're like, and you go, nope, bring it in. So our kids, our grandkids, we bring them in and hug them. And they're not like hold them. It's like, no, you're straight. You know, it's not like that. But a good hug, it's good for us. Now, here's some good news for you. Because you say, I don't know how I'm going to get 12 hugs a day. Your pets count as well. But I don't want y'all to be these weirdos. Just stay home with your dog or your cat, okay? And we love our dog, but you need some more hugs. You need some people hugs too, all right? All right. Next, spiritual nutrition. Sadness is a symptom of spiritual malnourishment. Sadness is a symptom of spiritual malnourishment. What do you need? You need the bread, the meat, and the milk of God's word. The happy, blessed guy in Psalm 1, he delights in God's word day and night. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Look what he found out. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. You've got to make sure you are getting into the word of God every day. Can I have a good yes, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you for listening. Next one you're not going to like so much. Look up. Look up. Look up. We have in our culture cyber sickness and phone addiction. And it messes with the chemicals of our brain and reward systems within your brain. What you need to do if you're truly going to be happy, less screens, less scrolling, less social media, less news. It has a negative impact on your mental health, on your motivation, on your mood, on your emotions, on your self-esteem. It attacks your body image. It brings sleep disruption, sadness, and anxiety. Plus, physically, it impacts your neck and shoulder muscles. Your head is angled down, which is not the way you're supposed to be so often. You say, well, my head's not down. No, just drive by a bus stop, a restaurant, anywhere. Everybody's like this. Am I right? Heads down. And then lastly, too, it affects your breathing. It's not good for you. Plus, figuratively speaking, looking down means sad or dejected. So what do? Even secular studies show this. Put your phone down, look up, shoulders back, chin up, lift your chest, breathe deep, and think for yourself. Look up. Amen. Pray. Pray is the next one. Another word for pray is ask. You want to be happy? Why don't you ask God? Ask God, help me. Show me what I'm doing wrong. Show me what I need to do. God, will you bring some happiness and peace and joy into my life? Plus, in John 16:24, just the act of prayer, until now you've asked me nothing, asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Philippians 4:6-7, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which is the foundation for happiness, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And plus, all of you need to take times when you've got a burden, when you've got something heavy, take the time to transfer through prayer Transfer the burden that's on your heart over into the hands of an almighty God, and that's going to bring relief and peace and happiness. Next one, hang in there. Come on, everybody say, hang in there. Let me rephrase it for you. Quit quitting. Quit quitting. When you quit, there is a letdown, unless you like quit smoking or something, all right? But when you quit, you have to realize you had started something. So your whole system had planned on, here we go. There was some excitement. There was some potential. There was some effort, expense, some planning, some, you know, you got invested in it in many, many different ways. And then when you just quit something, there's a letdown that doesn't just bring you back to where you were. It brings you back and down a little bit further. Quit quitting. James 1:12 says, blessed or happy is the one who perseveres under trial. And that word trial there is temptation, test, trial, pressure, problem. So hang in there. Just hang in there. Quit quitting. I know it's hard. I know it hurts. But what are you going to quit to? I mean, hang in there and God will meet you and help you. In Galatians 6:9, it says, don't grow weary while doing good, for in due season you will reap. There will be a harvest if you don't faint, if you don't quit, if you don't cave in. Hang in there and quit quitting. Amen. Next one, church. Come on, say it. Church. And I just made this up yesterday. I wanted to share it with you. Church days affect. Oh, you've heard it. Okay. Church days affect the rest of your days. They truly do. Watch this. In Psalm 122, David said this. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to church. Why? Because he knew something was about to happen. Isaiah 35:10, and the ransom, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. Now, New Testament, Zion means the people of God, the city of God, and church. So it's saying the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to church. Watch this, with what? With singing. I think it means an attitude of participation. You know, you can come to church like some people do, and they're like, yeah, just try and bless me. Well, Mr. Turtle Shell, we're just glad you're here. But see, when we come with an attitude, an openness of some participation, watch what happens. With everlasting joy on their heads, literally over them is an everlasting joy. It's the potential of that is right there for you. They shall, help me out on this, they shall obtain joy and sorrow and gladness and sorrow and sighing shall what? Shall flee away. So over you is so much potential of joy for your life. And as you come to church, you got to come to church. I know you're here, but make it part of your life, okay? And as you come to church, you have the opportunity to obtain joy and gladness and for sorrow and sighing to flee away. Amen? Now, we've been going fast. Can you give me just a couple more minutes? Okay, I'm going to hit these super fast. We're going over into the express lane right now. These matter. Fix your finances. You want to be happy, you need to fix your finances. One of the number one stressors of people is their finances. You've got to get God as your source. You need to get blessing on your finances. And you yourself cannot bless yourself. You yourself cannot bless your finances. Acknowledging God and obeying his instructions in the word. Here's a good formula to live by. 10, 10, 80. It's 100%. First 10% go to God. I know some of you choke on the idea of it. It's just one of the instructions. 10% to God. 10% in savings. Live on the rest. You say, Pastor, there's no way I could do that. Then start where you are. Maybe you can't do 10, 10, 80. But you know what you might could do? 1, 1, 98. And I promise you, you make efforts toward God, God will make efforts toward you. Watch what he does. Blessing starts to come onto your finances. Amen. Here's the next one. Let it go. Just say it.
Let it go.
Let it go. I'm sorry, I have grandchildren. Let it go. Cast your cares. That thing that happened, that thing that went wrong, that thing you messed up, that thing that whatever, let it go. You're not going to be happy as long as you're carrying around the wreckage of something. Just let it go. The next one's important too. Let them go. Who hurt you? Who offended you? Who did you wrong? Let them go. Oh, but Pastor, this... No, let them go. Give yourself the gift to just forgive them. I let you go because I can't carry that. I can't carry them the rest of your life. Let it go. It is key and crucial to your happiness. Here's another one. Let you go. Let you go. You got to realize that Jesus shed his blood to forgive you. And you've got to receive that forgiveness. And then you've got to forgive yourself. We're forgiving others. We're letting things go. Forgive yourself. Not making light of what any of you or I have ever done. But let godly sorrow work. Let remorse be a part. But my goodness, get off of shame and get out of guilt and get out of the shackles that would hold you back. You've got the rest of your life. You've got the rest of your story. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us and sets us free. You got to let you go. God has forgiven you. Now forgive yourself and step into your future and follow his instructions. Amen. Let yourself go. Couple more. Temple maintenance. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you. You got to take good care of yourself, better care of yourself. If you don't, you're never going to be fully happy. You're going to be struggling. Here's just a couple things. Rest, eat healthy, exercise, stretch, and manage your stress, cast your cares. Here's another one, mindfulness. Come on, say it, mindfulness. Mindfulness is being right here, right now. Did you know that all five of your senses are for right here, right now? All five of your senses. And what we've got to do is stop time traveling. Anxiety is worry about the future. Depression is worry about the past. And what you've got to do is get your heart and your head and your feet in the same place at the same time, because that's where God is. That's where God will help you and meet you right there. And I'm telling you, Jesus said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It's not about tomorrow. It's not about yesterday. We handle those things. It's about today and mindfulness. Get mindful, and that's going to help your happiness equation as well. Humility. Come on, say it. Humility. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. As you humble yourself, he will lift you up, which just speaks of helping you to be more happy. The Holy Spirit. Come on, say it. Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Be filled with the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. And have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And every time you choose to operate in the fruit of the Spirit, it's going to grow in your life. And you're going to have a fruitful, more happy life. Here's a big one. Sow happiness. It's a law of the kingdom that what you sow, you will also reap. What you plant is what you're going to harvest. You want happiness in your life? Plant happiness in the lives of others. Do something to help somebody. Do something that makes a difference. Do something that lightens their load. Smile at people. I mean, my goodness, people are just walking around like this anymore. Why don't you start sowing happiness everywhere you go, not just with your face, but with your things, your actions, and your words. I just got a couple more here. Be productive. Be productive. Laziness leads to a heaviness in your emotions. You need to be productive. All labor leads to profit, and everybody's happy about profit. Fix something. Solve something. Build something. Make your bed. Do something even small, and you're going to have a built-in reward of that. Two more. Here we go. Spirit of heaviness. Spirit of heaviness. The Bible says that God gives us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that you might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. There's a spirit of heaviness at times. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And you can be getting everything else right, and sometimes there's just this, what is this? Why am I still down? Why do I still fail? Why am I fearful? Why? I don't even know what I'm fearful about. And you know what sometimes it is? It's the enemy of your soul. And he'll try to just blow that little heavy cloud in over you. What do you do with that? You don't have to just live with that. You have the power and the use of the authority of the name of Jesus, given to you by the blood of Jesus. The devil knows he's defeated, but it's when you pick that up and say, you know what? I'm not going to live this day this way. I'm not going to live with this heaviness. I'm not going to live with this fear. I will not fear. I will not dread. I will not have this heaviness. I have the blessing of God in my life. Talk back to it and then take authority in the strong name of Jesus. And we've done this in the name of Jesus. Heaviness, fear, leave me now in the name of Jesus. And one final one, holy reset. Come on, say it. Holy reset. Let's say you're doing all these things and you get started and it's mid-morning and you're at work or whatever you're doing. And it's like, oh man, I've messed this whole thing up. Well, guess what? You not only got a fresh start at the beginning of the day, His mercies are new, but I really believe you can pull over, so to speak, and get a holy reset. God, I already got two wheels off the track and I'm barely going today. And I did that and I said that and I thought that. And just get that holy reset. Get forgiven. Get your focus back. Put Him first. Ask Him to help you. Sometimes you rush the start of the day and that's part of it. But thank God He can give us that holy reset. Now, I've only given you a few, believe it or not. And the Scripture is loaded with this. And the Holy Spirit will help you and He will guide you. This is not a checklist. But I promise you that if it's not quite happening right, it's probably going to be one of these things. And you need to come back and revisit. It's a whole lot of big things, a whole lot of little things, practical things, spiritual things. Blessed, happy are those who keep my ways and listen to my instructions. The pursuit of happiness is the pursuit of God and His ways. Now listen, you can do everything that it says to do, but if you don't have a relationship with God, it just doesn't work. C.S. Lewis said this, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from Himself because it is not there. There is no such thing as happiness and peace apart from God. It's that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Do you remember that? Real happiness can only come from a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, with the awareness of the Holy Spirit helping us in our daily life. Amen. Did y'all get anything at all out of this today? All right.